If you have a need, plant a seed.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about Scripture's proven prescription for dealing with difficulties.
The Bible calls it sowing and reaping. If you haven't planted anything, why are you looking for produce?
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. As we try to find our way through life, sometimes it feels like we're doing it in the dark. But Dr. Evans says when that happens, we just might stumble over hidden treasure God wants us to discover. Let's join him as he talks about a biblical concept that can kickstart that process.
I want to dive a little deeper in this most strategic principle. Luke 6:38. I'm going to read it twice. It says, "Give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return." Again, "Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, for by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return." Now, I know I've lost some of you already because you saw the first word of the verse, "Give." But I'm going to ask you not to prejudge me until we have finished the verse. Because the word I'm going to focus on is not actually the word "give." The word I'm going to focus on is the word "it." So I'm going to focus on it, not so much the "give," although that'll play a part in it. So don't prejudge me quite yet. Let's make sure we understand a very fundamental principle. You can only give something if you have it. If you don't have it, you can't give it because it's not yours to give if you don't have it, whatever it happens to be. Which brings me to a foundational understanding that we've said many times, which is key to everything I'm getting ready to say, and that is you only have one source. That one source is God. You have many resources or channels through which God can get you whatever he wants to get you, but he is your only source. See, once you make something other than God your source, you got to look to that thing. Depend on that thing. Bank on that thing. Count on that thing. And maybe even bow to that thing. But if that thing was never your source, it can't own you. So let's understand now, you only have one source. And that's why God calls us to fully depend on him as our source, because he can switch resources on a dime. He can shift the method on a dime. He says, "Give and it will be given to you." So let me tell you about the theology of it. Whatever it is that you need or want legitimately from God, give it. Watch this now. Whatever it is that you legitimately want or need from God, give it. Everybody wants something from God. But he takes another step back and he says, before you get it, give it if you want it. When God created way back in the book of Genesis, here's what God said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 12. He says this, "The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them, after their kind. And God saw that it was good." So here's how this works. What God created had a seed built in it. The seed matched whatever it was the seed of. So apples have seeds, pears have seeds, watermelon has seeds. They have built into them the reproduction of them. So what God did when he created all of these different fruits and vegetables is he planted in them their future. They could be replicated after their kind. You cannot plant an orange and seed and get apples. So whatever it is that you plant, that it is what you receive. Because it's after its kind, after their same kind. So the way God, watch this, created life to work was the thing you wanted to reproduce, you had to use the seed that was embedded in it. It says the seed was in it. So you would take the seed from what you had in order to replicate it. What was a principle of creation, Luke 6:38 broadens to say it's a principle of life. Give and it. It refers to the thing you gave. Give and it. Whatever the it is, give it. Because God responds to the faith that gave whatever the it is needed. Let's put it another way. If you have a need, make sure you sow a seed. People all over call on God to meet a need when they are not willing to plant a seed. And then wonder why the need has not been met. Let's say we have Farmer Brown. Farmer Brown is standing over his 10 acres, and Farmer Brown wants to have a good crop this year of fruits and vegetables. So Farmer Brown is so committed to God that Farmer Brown stands over his 10 acres and he prays every single day. God, I want you to bless my farm. I need rain from heaven. I need sunshine. I need not inclement weather so I can have a great harvest. God, I need you to bless my farm this year. In fact, God, I am so serious about what I need. I need you to bless my 10 acres. I am so committed. I'm going to fast. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to serve in my church. I am really committed. I'm going to pray to you every day because I need you to bless my 10 acres. We would say Farmer Brown is very serious about God meeting his need. But what would you say when you found out that Farmer Brown prayed, Farmer Brown fasted, Farmer Brown studied the Bible, but never planted? I would like to suggest to you, Farmer Brown wasted his time, even calling on God, because he wanted God to meet a need without a seed. And the way God has structured it to work, Genesis 1:12, is the reproduction, the future. What God is going to do is not just tied to the need, it's tied to the location of the seed. God required that the seed be placed in the ground. Now, why did God say the seed must be planted in the ground? Because God created the ground to receive the seed so that the farmer would always know his source. I want to teach you the seed principle because it applies to houses and lands, and he says children, he says family, he says farms. He ties it to a whole bunch of things. That if you miss the seed principle, give and it, then you miss out on how God wants to meet many of your needs, assuming you're willing to do something with your seed. Now, no farmer eats everything he produces. Because if he eats everything he produces, he'll never reproduce. Because his future is built in to the thing that he produced. Now, as I begin to think about this principle, when it's legitimately used, not illegitimately used, where the material takes place of the spiritual, but where it's legitimate, coming out of a heart that's committed to the source, God, as the giver, then I begin to observe it in Scripture. Hannah couldn't get pregnant. She was barren. There was shame associated with that, disappointment associated with that. She was unable to get pregnant. As for the whole time she was married, she could not get pregnant. In 1 Samuel, her prayer is recorded. Hannah got down on her knees and she says, Lord, I need a child. Give me a son. Okay? She expressed the need. But then she planted a seed. She said, if you will give me a son, I will dedicate him to the temple to serve you for the rest of his life. I will give him to you. I will give it, the child I need and want, to you. Now, she had been married all these years and not had a baby. But when she was willing to give it, the thing she wanted, to the purposes of God, to the benefit of his kingdom, to the advancement of his cause, we read in the next chapter, and she got pregnant. She'd been married all this time and not been able to get pregnant. But when she gave it, whatever the it is, it can come in all shapes and sizes. Make sure whatever the need is, you've planted the seed. You must give God something to work with. That's called faith. Faith is acting like God is telling the truth. It's not a feeling. It's a function. What seed did you plant? So when you come to God with a need, he's waiting to hear, what's the seed? What are you planting that you want me to grow, that you want me to develop?
Dr. Evans will give us a great example of the massive harvest that can start with a single seed when he continues this lesson from his brand new collection, Treasures in the Darkness. It's a powerful look at biblical principles that can get you through life's toughest times. Right now, we'd like to send you all 5 full-length messages in this collection as our thank you gift when you support the Ministry of the Alternative with any donation, large or small. And as a special bonus, we'll include a copy of Tony's popular book, 30 Days to Overcoming Emotional Strongholds. Over the course of a month, this short book will help you break free from destructive patterns that infect your relationships with others and with God. Visit TonyEvans.org today for details on the special double offer or call us at 1-800-800-3222. Dr. Evans will come back with more of today's message right after this.
Journey to a time of kings and prophets. Witness epic battles and miraculous events. Live the greatest adventures ever told, straight from the pages of the Bible. The Tony Evans Training Center provides more than just world-class training in a learn-at-your-own-pace environment. It strives to make the books of the Bible come alive. We'll take you deep into God's Word so that you can experience it in a life-changing way. Begin your journey today at TonyEvansTraining.org. That's TonyEvansTraining.org. Explore the kingdom anytime, anywhere.
There were 5,000 men, not counting women and children, 20 to 25,000 people are listening to Jesus preach. The feeding of the 5,000 found in all the Gospels. Jesus asked his disciples, how are we going to feed all these people? The answer of all of them is, I don't know. I don't know how we're going to feed 5,000 people. There are too many people, there's too little money, and McDonald's can't handle them. There's no place around to feed almost 20,000 people who had come to hear Jesus preach. What did they need? Food. What did Jesus ask for? He said, is there any food around? They needed food. He didn't just pray for food. He says, is there any food around? There's a little boy with some sardines and crackers. The little boy gives the sardines and crackers, the 2 fish, 5 barley loaves to Jesus Christ. And the Bible says Jesus gave thanks and blessed them. Why say grace over sardines and crackers when you've got 20,000 people who are hungry? That would sound like a waste of time. Not if it's a seed. Because built in a seed is the need. So when Jesus blessed the sardines and crackers, 2 fish and 5 barley loaves, now Orca the Killer Whale is laying on the beach. Moby Dick is on the beach. And 20,000 people eat. And I like the way it says it. It says, and they ate to their full. In other words, they got seconds. All we started with was a seed, just some sardines and crackers, some fish and barley loaves. But when it was blessed by God, the seed multiplied and the need was met. The problem today is people want God to meet their need when they're unwilling to plant a seed, which means they don't exercise any faith. Or their motivation is wrong. It has no connection to the glory of God, the advancement of the gospel, the acknowledgement of the kingdom. And so We don't see all that God can do legitimately, not the prosperity theology where it's stuff for stuff's sake. I'm talking about that which responds to God as the source so that he meets the need because he sees the seed. He sees that there was faith that in that little seed would be a future growth. He says, give and it that you gave. The Bible says, talking to believers, he says, if you want to be forgiven, forgive. He says, if you want to be forgiven, be a forgiver. So if you need to be forgiven over here, forgive over there. Forgive over there, that's a planting of a seed for the forgiveness you need over here. That's what Jesus said. Plant the seed for the need. If you need love, give some. Plant the seed, it, of what you need. If you need a relationship, give one. Plant a seed over here for the need you have over here. Give the it that you're looking to be returned to you. If you have a need, plant a seed. That is the way agriculture works. The Bible calls it sowing and reaping. You don't reap if you haven't sown. If you haven't planted anything, why are you looking for produce? People want a spiritual relationship with God, but they won't plant a seed in the word. Plant a seed in prayer, plant a seed in ministry, but they want to see God move in their lives. If you have a need, plant a seed. And then he says, by your measure, it will be measured back to you. 2 Corinthians 9:9 says, if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. So when you go to God with your need, he's going to see the size cup you used. Because by your standard of measure is how he uses it to measure it back to you. God told Israel in Deuteronomy 24:19, he told the farmers, he says, leave the edges of your field alone. Don't take the sheaves from the edges of your field. Leave those for the poor, for the orphan, for the alien, and for the widow. He tells the farmers, don't, I know it's your field. I know all 10 acres are yours, but don't mess with the corners of the field. Leave those alone and let the poor and the widow and the orphan, let them have that. It's yours, you planted it, but let them have it. And then in verse 19, he tells them why. He says, because when you have left it for them, the Lord will bless you. When you left some of the seed that benefited somebody outside of you, and that, brothers and sisters, is the definition of a blessing. A blessing is not what God does to you. It is also what God knows he's free to do through you. God told Abraham, I am going to bless you. And then he says, and through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So here's the secret. This is why the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. The reason why it says it's more blessed to give than to receive is because when God knows he can flow through, he doesn't mind flowing to. But the moment he knows it's only about you and it's going to stop with you and it's just going to flow to you and nothing will go through you, he gets uninterested in continuing to flow to when he knows he can't flow through. And that's why when you go for God, for him to do something in your life, tell him if he does it, how you will use it to be a blessing. Because now you have piqued his interest. Because he knows you're going to be a blessing and not just want to hang out to be blessed. Now, I know that this message has disturbed some of you. Because what you heard was, come so God can meet your need. You wasn't into this, I got to have a seed. I ain't interested in the seed. Let's just preach to me, preacher, about the need. But then I wouldn't be telling you the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. The whole chapter on this in 2 Corinthians 9, whole chapter on sowing and reaping and all of this is in the New Testament. But the Bible has a verse for you who are struggling with this sermon. Because we can tell the truth, shame the devil. And the verse is Psalm 126, verse 6, because it says, those who sow in tears, because I know some of you are crying right now. He says, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. You may be sad on the front end, but you're going to be glad on the back end. You may be sad right now, but if you take the principle and use it, he says you will be glad with the result. So even if you have to sow crying, plant the seed so God can meet the need. And so you and I can stop piggybacking off of somebody else's testimony and have our own about the need God met and the unique way he chose to meet it, because I, in faith, planted the seed in good soil so it produced more than I ever expected. I'll repeat this. I've used it before, but it's so pertinent now in closing. A man was lost in a desert, over 120 degree heat. He was emaciated, dying of thirst, didn't know if he could make it. And then he saw in the distance a little shack. He went to the shack, and there was a pump over a hole for a well. Oh, how fortunate can this be? I'm dying of thirst, and here's a well. Above on a little platform was a glass of water. A sign underneath the glass said, "Use the water to prime the pump so that the pump can give you ongoing water. And when you are finished, fill the glass with water for the next person who comes this way." That was the instruction. But the man was on the horns of a dilemma. Because what if I pour this water into this well to prime the pump and the pump doesn't prime? Now I have no water. At least if I drink the glass, I got a glass of water that will hold me for a while. So he had to take the risk of taking this one glass of water and using it for a moment, or following the instructions of the word that had been written and use it to prime the pump for more water than he could ever drink if it worked. So he's on the horns of a dilemma. Does he satisfy himself with what he can see? Or does he take the risk for what he cannot see and does not know will work? He decided to do a faith act. He took the water that he could have drunk and been sustained for a short period of time and poured it in to prime the pump. And as he primed the pump, water began to gush. And gush. So not only did he get to drink to his full, every empty container in the house he filled with water. He filled with water. And he had water for as long as it took him to be rescued. And then he filled the glass so that the next person who came that way could have the same opportunity. So you now have the principle, and you can go and just make it a day at a time and do the best you can. Or you can believe what God says about the it. Give and it will be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, for by the same measure you use, it will be measured to you in return.
Dr. Tony Evans, talking about the powerful principle of sowing and reaping and the incredible difference it makes to plant the right kind of seed. Is there someone you know who needs to hear this message? Copies are available. Just check with us for details on the lesson titled, Let It Work. Better yet, get the full-length version of this message as a part of that double resource offer I mentioned earlier, Treasures in the Darkness and 30 Days to Overcoming Emotional Strongholds. Both are available this week only as our thank you gift when you support Tony's ministry with a contribution of any amount. Contact us before time runs out at tonyevans.org or give us a call day or night at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our resource team members help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Sometimes life gets so stormy that we wonder if we're going to make it through. But Dr. Evans says even when things are at their worst, we can find treasures in troubled times. Join him tomorrow for a look at how to track them down and open them up. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.